Hey guys, I'm Em from the fashion and beauty blog, The Lipstick Fever. When I moved to London over a year ago, I felt like there weren't a ton of obvious resources for women moving abroad or moving cities. My biggest source of strength and growth for my big move was through the inspiring and amazing women from all over the world that I've been meeting. Now, I want to share those conversations with you. We're going to hear from female entrepreneurs, industry experts, and some major female badasses on a global level. Hi, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of the Big Move podcast. I am your host, Em, from The Lipstick Fever. Today, I'm really excited to be here with one of my very dear friends in London, Ashley. So Ashley Schuberg, or most of you might know her as Miss Gunner on Instagram. She is an international travel, fashion, and lifestyle blogger. From Sydney to London, she has incredible reach and engagement across her social channels and her blog. And her passion and eye for all things fashion has allowed her to turn Miss Gunner into her full-time gig and work with top brands like Microsoft, Uniqlo, Dyson, Next, Missguided, and Expedia. Ash, welcome to the podcast.
Hi, Em. Thank you so much for having me. Hello, everyone. It's good to be here.
So good. So we're sitting up in your rooftop of your new apartment building in East London, which is like a dream. These views.
And it's such a nice day today. Like, London has turned it up. Spring is finally coming.
Oh my gosh.
We're super excited about spring right now.
Yes. So now that we need icebreakers, but we'll just do a couple fun ones.
Yes, thank you
ones.
For that amazing introduction, by the way. That's very cool. It makes me sound very important.
Well, it's quite the brand portfolio you have. So, you know, but we'll get into that later. Yes. Okay, cool. So first, icebreaker question. What are the first three things that you do when you wake up in the morning?
Okay, this is a great question because my morning routine lately has been slightly different. I'm trying to be a lot more healthier this year. So as soon as I wake up, I have a glass of warm water with apple cider vinegar.
Yes.
Have you tried it?
I have tried it. And
do you like it?
Yeah, I like it a lot.
Okay, good. Yeah, I love it too. I think it really helps you burn a lot of fat.
Yeah.
When you exercise.
Yeah.
Or whatever.
I don't know. I totally agree with you. Yeah. Sometimes I do a little honey in it because of the taste. But it's not so bad if you do a little bit.
Yeah. I do two teaspoons.
Okay.
As soon as I wake up, I do that. And then I'll try to go and sit down and I'll meditate for 10 minutes.
Oh, that's so good.
I know. It's been really good for my head because last year I felt like I was just spending too much time kind of outside my body. I was try going here and there. And this year I want to try to be a bit more collected, a bit more, zen.
Definitely.
So I think it's just a good little 10 minutes in the morning that I do. And I also set out what I'm going to do during the day as well. It makes my day go so much easier.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Than just me just wake up and just get into my work and just start stressing out.
Totally.
The morning.
Are you an early riser?
I am, actually.
Okay.
Yeah. Are you?
I've kind of started to be a bit more.
Okay.
I used to be an 8:30 wake up.
Oh, really?
Yes, but recently I'm 7:30, which I consider
early.
I consider early for me, yeah. But it's good. You've had that extra quiet time in the morning.
Yeah.
And it's brighter out in the morning now in London. So it's a nice
so
feeling.
Nice. Yeah, normally I'm up at 5 a.m. in the morning. I don't know why.
Oh my God, seriously?
Yeah, it's weird.
You must be so productive. Because it's quiet, I'm sure.
Yeah, it's the first hour I find is the most productive.
Okay.
But I do that and then I usually, go down to the gym.
Okay.
And just have a workout. That's my kind of three things. I know it sounds so really, good. Good, but I've only just started doing that maybe 2 months now.
Yeah. It's good. I feel a morning routine kind of makes all the difference.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, totally. Okay, cool. And then transitioning into what is your alcoholic beverage of choice? Polar opposite.
Moment, now that I'm in London and I spend a lot of time at Soho House with
you. Yes.
And all our friends, usually it's a Soho meal or Moscow meal, any kind of meal, really.
Yeah, that one's, it's such a good go-to. I know so many people that's
it's lethal.
Yeah, yeah.
It doesn't taste like alcohol. That's a problem.
Yeah, exactly. I feel like none of their cocktails do, which is kind of the problem. And then five later, you're okay,
yeah.
It might be time to think about going home maybe.
Five later, yeah. Sounds about right.
Okay, cool. So I want to just get started and kind of chat on your background in a really general sense, kind of intro. And we'll totally backtrack. So you were originally from Thailand.
Yeah. I was. Okay. So I was born in Bangkok and I grew up in Thailand until I was 8. And then I moved to Sydney and I went to, well, my parents chipped me off, sent me to boarding school.
Oh my gosh, you went to boarding school. Yeah, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Like, was it like all girls or like?
Yeah, all girls.
Oh, wow.
So my brothers were chipped off to go to all boys boarding school before me. And then eventually it was my turn. And then I went to boarding school since I was 8 or 9 until I was 17, 18. So that's all I knew, actually. A lot of people were like, oh my God, didn't you miss your family? I'm like, yeah, like I miss my family. But that's all I knew. Like I knew that I had to kind of like make friends and have really good like girlfriends to kind of like take you through, you know, if you have any problems, all that kind of stuff. So I learned to grow up very quickly.
Oh my gosh, that's intense.
I know. When I look back now, I'm like, would I send my kids to boarding school? I probably wouldn't. But I think my parents at the time thought it was the best thing for us because in Thailand at the time, for you to send your kids to like an international school, it's like super, super expensive. So it almost costs the same. And then they were like, if we send them to Australia, it would be a lot better. So they figured they would just do that. So yeah, that's what I did.
Oh my gosh,
but,
crazy.
I'm super, you know, all my close friends are from my boarding school. Still, we're still like
family. Oh wow, so, okay. Yeah. So what age did you go to boarding school until?
Like 9. Oh, until like 18.
Okay, until 18.
Yeah.
And then when did you move to Sydney?
So I moved to Sydney when I was 8, and then I started school there, and then I lived there.
And then you lived there ever since.
Until 2 years ago, until I moved to London.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. So crazy. Yeah. And what prompted your official move to London?
I love London, right? You do too. It's like the mecca of like all things blogging and shopping, I think. Yes. It's a bit like New York City.
Yes, definitely.
I think for me, Scott, my husband, had an opportunity to come and work here. And at the time, I already started blogging full time. So I was like, okay, great, awesome. Like, I'd love to go. So that's what we did. And we had nothing holding us back at the time. So I was like, everyone was healthy and happy back in Sydney. You know, everything's good. So it was the perfect time.
Okay, amazing. And where did you and Scott meet? I don't know if we've ever officially got into that.
I know, you never did. I don't think I tell anyone. It's so weird because I've been with him for 10 years now and we met from online, actually.
Back
then, 10 years ago, it was like a real, if you're crazy, you go online dating, right? But yeah, that's how we met, actually. But I was living with a really good gay friend of mine and I was like, how are you going on these dates, you know? And he's like, I only like do online dating. And I was like, oh my God. So he signed me up and then I met Scott and that was it.
Oh my gosh, I love that. Which one, which dating site was it?
This was like an Australian one. So it's like RSVP.
Okay, so sorry, you singles out there. If it's still around, clearly it worked.
I know. A lot of people, I apparently met, you know, a
their
lot
husband
of, yeah,
through it. Okay,
But now with all these apps, I think it's kind of similar, but I think it's a little bit more like crazy. So I don't know.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Okay, and your sort of career trajectory is really interesting because you were a dentist.
I kind of
want to get into that a little bit. So you were in dental school prior to blogging.
Yeah. So I was, my career has kind of gone all over the place. My very first degree was in computing, which is really strange. And then I worked for a bit and then I figured I want to go back and do dentistry and I went back to university and that's what I did. I'm a dental hygienist. Can I just say that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's perfect.
Yeah, so I'm a dental hygienist, so that's what I did and I kind of like specialized in orthodontics. So I work with an orthodontist and I just kind of did all that fun stuff. But blogging was like my hobby.
Okay.
It's like my real passion, I guess.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yeah. It's so interesting.
So if you need your teeth cleaned or get your teeth checked, just come and see me. I can do that for you.
Oh my gosh. I love it. So, because you still do it. Because I notice sometimes when you go back to Sydney, do you just like see certain clients or something?
Yeah,
or?
I do. Only because I really want to keep my registration just in case as a backup. If I don't want to blog anymore, then I can go back and have a job. Yeah. So sometimes when I go back to Sydney, I just go back and work at my old place. And my boss is like super flexible and super easy. And he's like, just come in anytime when you're back.
I love that. Which is amazing.
Yeah, I love seeing patients. It's like a good... It's just like I just use a different side of my brain, which is amazing. Like blogging is like when I'm like being like super creative. But I think in dentistry, you're like super technical and a bit more like scientific.
Yes. Yeah. Oh my gosh, like a polar opposite. So blogging was really your sort of creative outlet, if you will.
Yeah.
Okay,
definitely.
Cool. So when did you sort of, when was the moment where you decided to blog full time? This is what I want to do. What was that like?
So I think I was blogging for about 2 years by then. And then I started to make more money doing blogging than my other job. And then I was traveling a lot for blogging as well. And then all of a sudden it's like, okay, sorry, I can't see the patients next week because I need to cancel. I'm going on this trip. And then eventually my boss was like, Ash, you're like pretty much canceling almost every week, like a few days a week or whatever. He's like, why don't you just try going full time? And then I was so scared because I was like, am I going to make enough money through this? Because like I'm so used to having like a regular paycheck, you know, and I was really worried. But I was like, okay, worst case scenario, you just go back to your job and then just nothing to lose, really.
Yeah.
Just always have a job. So that's what I did. I just went full time and then, I haven't really looked back since. Yeah. So
I'm with you. It's like there's always that fallback plan. You know, it's like when you take any kind of jump to do something entrepreneurial.
Yeah, like, any like
you
freelancing
can go back.
Work.
Yeah. So I feel like some people think, you know, maybe, you know, you're stuck or if you spend too much time in that new role, it's tough to kind of go back. But I'm a big believer in you can kind of make a transition into something new at any point.
Yeah,
so you
definitely.
Can always,
and I think sometimes you just have to follow your heart and then hope for the best. And then, but it's been amazing. So,
oh my gosh, I love it. So, I want to get into a little bit about your big move. As you know, this is sort of the premise and the name of the podcast. So of course for you, that was sort of making that big move away from family, friends, from Sydney to London. And I love talking about sort of the initial move. I feel like everyone has a different experience, but I feel like even that first 6-8 months, it's a really crucial time. And there's a lot happening. For me, it was total like emotional roller coaster.
Yeah.
In a sense, but looking back at your sort of initial move, like what was that time like for you? And I guess Scott, obviously you guys came over together.
Yeah. I think the first year was the hardest. It's my second year now. It's a lot easier now. I think the first, even 6 months, you're just kind of like getting into it. And after a year, you're like, okay. I remember the first 6 months, I loved London and then I hated it. I loved it and I hated it. It was like back and forth every week. I'm like, I love it now. And then I'm like, I hate it. Just back and forth. And then now I'm like, okay, I love it. And I love it.
Yeah.
You know, there's no back and forth anymore. But it just takes a little while, I think. Like London is such a big city for me. I feel like Sydney is so small and so calm. Whereas London is like go, go, go all the time. So that was, I had to get used to that. And also I think, like where me and Scott are so close to our families and we just miss them so much because in Sydney we used to see them like every weekend and now it's just us two here.
Yeah, but, absolutely.
You start to make friends and then consider them your family here. So that makes things a little bit easier.
Yeah, absolutely. I feel like I'm always saying to people, like, it just takes time. It just takes time. Like a solid like 6 to 8 months before I think it even starts to resemble something that looks like you're sort of a normal new day to day.
Yeah. I know. I totally agree with you. So give yourself time. Like don't stress too much.
Yeah.
You know, about if you're hating it.
Absolutely.
You haven't made the wrong decision, but it just takes a bit of time.
I'm curious, like when you were having those moments of, oh, I just hate London, what was it that like would trigger you? Was it just sort of like the setup or the people or what? What were those moments?
The people are great. And I have a great network of friends here. Like, you know, when we moved to London, like, when we started hanging out and all the other girls, everyone's like super friendly and super awesome.
Yeah,
I think
of course.
It's not hard to make friends in London. But for me, I feel like getting from A to B was the biggest like frustration for me, because I feel like London is so massive. Also, I don't drive here. I'm so used to driving in Sydney.
Right.
Whereas I was talking to Sif, our friend.
Yeah.
She never drove anyway. So she was so used to like getting public transport. But for me, it's like a big change, because it's like, okay, I need to consider another like half an hour on top of my travel time. And it's like, well, I'm just going to a meeting. Why am I like leaving my house like an hour and a half earlier, or like an hour, you know? Whereas in Sydney, I can just jump in the car. It takes me like 15, 20 minutes to get to a place, and it's all fun.
That is a really big change. I feel like that's sort of when, you know, people are moving from LA to New York or vice versa. Yeah. It's sort of like similar. A similar vibe. But yeah, I think people don't realize how huge London is until they come here and they ask me about New York. And I'm like, well, New York is tiny in comparison. Yeah. And I think, like, again, until you live and experience both cities, like, you just don't know. But I'm with you. It's like whenever I have, you know, a meeting or something on the opposite side of the city. And I'm so central. Like, I have nothing to complain about.
I know, me too. Really, I'm pretty central.
Yeah,
like,
I get
both are.
Totally. And we meet so many like Londoners and people from the UK, and they live on the outskirts. They have, you know, an hour or 2 hour commute, and that's so normal for them.
Yeah.
But I think for us, having made those moves abroad, like, we live in the center, and we try to find as much sort of convenience as we can there.
Yeah, for sure. I think I do love living in like the center of London, though. It's kind of like super fun.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Of course. So do you have sort of any major tips for someone trying to get settled into like a brand new city, or maybe having done a similar move to you from Sydney to London?
My tip would be, don't be too hard on yourself. Like, sometimes I think for example, Scott, it's really hard, I think, for men to make new friends. And I think, whereas, you know, we're fine. We're like very social, especially with our job. We go out and meet people all the
time.
But I think for Scott, sometimes it's like, I need to consider that, well, he's a guy, like, it's going to be, unless he meets someone at work, like, where else he's going to meet people, you know? So I think, just don't be too hard on yourself. Like, eventually you'll start making friends, and just, you're going to hate life for the first like 6 months, but it gets better and it gets more and more fun. So just give yourself time. Like, don't think that you've made the wrong decision. You know, I had another friend who just moved over from Sydney, and it took her around 8 months as well. And every day she's like, have I made the right decision? And I'm like, you have, but I've been there. But you just need to like ride it out, you know?
Yeah, totally. And I think it's like just all about, just keeping an open mind too with like meeting new people. Obviously, you've left behind your friends, your family. Like, I too still struggle with that. But I think like having an open mind, like, you get to meet people from all over the world here, which is like such a cool aspect of it.
Yeah.
And just reach out to people.
Like, yeah, definitely. I think that's like super normal. It's London's a big city. A lot of people come from other places to London, so everyone's looking for new friends.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so I want to talk about homesickness.
Yes.
And I feel like I haven't talked to any guests about this so far. And I just feel like it's a huge aspect of making a big move, whether it's abroad or to a new city or whatever it is. So did you experience any of that? I know your mom is in Sydney, and you said your siblings are still in Australia as well, right?
Yeah. It's a real issue, right? Like, I remember this clearly, like, our first Christmas here in London. Like, I was living in a house, and I bought a big, beautiful Christmas tree. And it was just me and Scott, like, opening presents on Christmas Eve. And I remember
that. It was, were like, it's just the two of us here. I'm like, oh my gosh.
I know. It's like weird for us to have Christmas just the two of us, because like, to me, Christmas is like about family. And normally, you know, I don't really think too much, but then that night, like, I remember Scott was like opening present, and he started crying, and I was like, oh my god, this is like the worst Christmas ever. But yeah, it just shows that like, without your family, you're kind of just like, I don't know, you're not complete. But FaceTime is good. You always FaceTime everyone. And I try to go back to Sydney quite often to see everyone. And I speak to them a lot. So that helps.
Yeah, that's so helpful. Yeah. I was going to ask, like, how have you found a good balance of like keeping in touch with family and friends from back home? Like, is it a weekly call or is it kind of just catching up organically kind of thing?
Yeah, normally I probably ring my mom every day on FaceTime. And then my in-laws, like, usually like 2-3 times a week.
Yeah.
And then all my friends are on WhatsApp. So I'm always like chatting to all of them.
Yeah.
But I know it's really hard to kind of keep that contact because I have like my London friends and I have my Sydney friends. And the timing, also the time difference is really difficult.
For yes. Sydney Especially for London. You. What, yeah. What's that like?
It's
isn't
like,
it like opposite 12,
it's like
12 hours? Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like my mom will be, yeah, in bed right now because it's like 3 a.m.
Yeah.
Whatever in the morning. So like sometimes I'm like, I'm doing something in the afternoon. I'm like, oh, I want to speak to her. And I ring her and I wake her up and it's like, okay, I need to either call them in the morning or in the evening.
Right. Yeah. That must be so tough. Even for me, it was like even just the 5-hour difference. I remember when I first moved over and waking up, I remember the mornings were more difficult at the beginning because you were waiting for family to be up or if you wanted to catch up with a friend or what have you. It was like even just the 5-hour difference. So I can't imagine
a whole
12 hours. Like that's got to take a lot of coordination as well just to keep in touch.
Exactly. Like, and then if I have work with like Australian brands, we're never on at the same time or I try to get them before they leave the office. But usually it's like the next day to like respond. If there's something urgent, it's just like, we just have to deal with the time difference.
So. Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Do you miss Sydney? Is there things that you miss most about like Australian life?
Yeah, like I miss Sydney a lot. But I think London is super special that it kind of makes up for it. I miss the weather in Sydney so much because it's like always sunny and, you know, most of the time, even in winter, I can still wear shorts. It's kind of like LA, really, right? Like,
yeah.
It's like the same vibe.
Definitely.
So, whereas in London, it's like grey all the time. The weather is probably my biggest complaint.
Yeah,
but
of
other than that, I think London is pretty, pretty amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is such an amazing city.
Yeah.
So we'll kind of get into your area of expertise, which is obviously fashion and blogging, and you've been able to cultivate like such great relationships with brands. So we'll just kind of get into that a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
What's sort of been the biggest challenge for you sort of building your brand internationally, do you think?
My biggest is probably when I first moved to London, you know, a lot of the brands that I work with was Australian based. I work with a lot bigger brands as well, but again, from like an Australian perspective. So coming to London, I think it's like you're starting again. And like, no one knows who you are. No one cares who you are. No one, but everyone's always super helpful. And I think you just have to really put yourself out there and like hustle really hard. I think for the first year when I first moved here. So I think now that I've been here for 2 years, I'm like a lot of people kind of know where I am, like who I am and what I'm about. So it's a lot easier. But yeah, the first year, I think working with international brands, I think London is such a great hub for that. You know, you can pretty much work with any brand you want. You can reach out to them. They can reach out to you. They'll see you around London and they want to work with you, that kind of stuff. Whereas in Sydney, I wouldn't get the same opportunity. I work with like kind of Australian-based more clients. So it's super exciting for me to be in London.
Yeah, I can totally relate to that. Yeah, it's like you come over and you're kind of starting over in a huge sense. And then brands, I'm sure, same thing. They ask what your demo is. And yeah, depending on sort of what they're looking for, it's either like an easy yes or no, but it's sort of right. Just making that new presence known, like, now I'm in London, that kind of thing, in that way. So your audience is obviously partly Aussie, partly UK, EU, and I'm sure like other parts of the world. Is there anything that you've sort of run in that's challenging about sort of serving each of those audience? I know when we first met, seasonality was a really big thing because you were like, it's summer in Sydney, but it's freezing in London. So it's like, how do you, how do you ensure that both of your audiences are sort of...
That's a really good question, Em. Like, it's one of my biggest struggle. That's why I love, like, right now, like, going into spring, Sydney's going into autumn. We're kind of matching. And then when it's like soup in the middle of winter here, it's like in the middle of summer over there. It just doesn't work.
Opposite.
It's like I crazy. Just can't. Yeah. And like all the Australian brands wants me to wear like their collection. And I'm like, literally, I cannot wear this. I would die from like, I would freeze to death. Yeah. Like literally, because it's all like really thin stuff. And I'm like, I don't really know where to shoot this in London because it's so gray all the time. So I guess I try to focus. When it's right in the middle like that, I try to focus on like, okay, I'm in the UK, I'm in London. I'll just focus on UK brands. But if I'm going back to Sydney, I'll start pitching for like Sydney brands. But yeah, but otherwise, this time now, it's perfect. I can just be like Sydney, London, like the weather is kind of similar. Right,
because is it fall in Sydney technically?
It's going into autumn right now.
Okay, got it. Yeah. So it's sort of those like the in-between seasons are probably...
Yeah, so like right here, right?
Yeah, like light jackets, like that kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, that's really interesting.
Yeah.
How are you finding influencer marketing in London specifically?
I think it's massive here. There's always a great opportunity for you as an influencer here. I think I went and met up with a PR for a brand and she said that there's over like a million influencers, bloggers like that coming in and out of London all the time. You know, you get international bloggers coming in and out and it just everyone's a blogger now and it's like so hard for you to stand out. Mm-hmm. I think that's one of my thing. It's like, how do you even like compete with so many people? But I think it comes down to like your relationship with the brand and the person in the brand. Yeah. So you become like really good friends with them. And
I couldn't agree more with you. And it's even, I think it's funny, I'm realizing you and I have kind of been in London the same amount of time. And I'm sure you've seen this too. I've seen it grow so much over the last 2 years from when I first came over. But it's just absolutely booming, which is good news considering we're doing it full time.
It's good for us.
So you've been able to work with amazing brands. You've like cultivated all these relationships and I feel like we've talked about this a lot. So as far as like nailing branded campaigns, like what are your biggest tips, I guess, for especially someone maybe who's starting to ramp up, starting to maybe make this their like full-time job?
Yeah, sure. I think my biggest thing is just make your client really happy. Like you always over deliver and also ask them if they're happy with your content or not. Like it's not that hard to just go back and go, were you happy with that? How did you feel about like the campaign that we did together?
Yep.
And most of the time you'll be surprised that like no one ever asks the brand if they're happy or not. No one ever goes back to them. When you do, they're like, oh wow, like she's actually like cares, you know, it's not just like about making money. And for me, it's like you always just always go above and beyond.
Yeah, definitely.
You're trying to stand out from other people.
And I think that's so important. It's like, okay, fine. The campaign's done. You send the invoice. You sent them the stats that they requested or whatever it was. Maybe you sent a campaign wrap-up report. But what's the feedback? Like, did you do a good job? Like, will this be a repeat client? I think often we can get so caught up in our work where we sort of wipe our hands clean. We've sent the invoice like we're good. I think it's so important to get that feedback. So do you do that with pretty much all of your campaigns?
I do, yeah. Okay. And a majority of like my clients are always like recurring clients. They always come back. I think only because like I always go back and ask them if they're happy. If they're not, I will make sure I fix it.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes things happen. But now that everything kind of gets approved when I used to work, sometimes you just do it and just post it. But now it's like we just agree to kind of like get everything checked. We talk about it before we post.
Right.
We make sure we like debrief about everything. So everyone's on the same page rather than like coming back and it's like miscommunications. So so that's I think that's really important to like have that kind of open communication before your
definitely.
Work is done.
Definitely, like setting those deliverables ahead of time and stuff.
Yeah,
and I think too, just like even like at the end, as simple as like, hey, do you have everything you need?
Yeah,
like, do you need any more shots of this outfit or just like having that open line of collaboration for each campaign?
Yeah.
I always say like it is a collaborative process and it's a two-way street. It's not, you know, and I think that's so important from both ends.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
So I want to get into sort of your most recent A new addition to the Instagram world, your newest Instagram account, The Real Miss Gunner. I'm so obsessed with it. I think it's such a good idea.
Em, you should start one. We should film this right now.
You're inspiring me. So let's get into it a little bit. Like, what made you start it? Sort of what's the premise behind it?
The premise behind it is that, like, since I started blogging almost four and a half years ago, Scott's always like, oh my God, I wish people could just see what you're really like behind all this stuff. And I'm like, just shut up, okay? Just deal with it. Just like, just take a good photo of me and I'll just post it. No one needs to see the rest. And like, and I think it just keeps on going. And now I think I'm at a good place with blogging. I'm comfortable where I am. And I think it's good to share like the other side, and it's so funny. Like, I think people find it really funny because people think that blogging is super like glamorous, and which it is, some parts of it is, maybe like 10% of it is, and 90 not so much. It's just like we're hustling and it's just like doing crazy stuff all the time.
Absolutely. You know? So you were in Italy, you were in Cinque Terre, am I saying it right? Okay. And you posted, like, I think it was a story or a photo of, like, you're like, I'm the bag lady. This is what I was actually wearing. I think you had on, like, a sweatshirt over your, like, beautiful, like, little spring two-piece set. So, like, how cold was it?
It was pretty cold. It's, like, London weather.
Oh, okay.
So,
okay.
It was, like, 11 degrees. So, okay. It's pretty cold. And I only took, you know, summery stuff because I thought, no, I want to get, like, super summer content because I want to post it even in the summer because I probably won't be able to go back there in the summer. But it was so cold. So I took one sweater, which is this gray old sweater, and I wore that on top of like all my cute outfits. Like everywhere we went, if you looked at my vlog is coming out tonight. Pretty much every shot that I took, I'm wearing this like gray hoodie sweater because it was like no matter where I was wearing the same sweater and I'm like, damn, I should have taken it off, but it was so cold.
Oh my gosh.
I wanted people to know that, like, you know, I might look cute. Literally, that shot of me eating pasta, I was so cold. And I said, Scott, I'm going to take my jacket off, take a photo of me. And then I put my jacket back on.
Yeah.
And I just keep eating. And I was catching a train, you know, because you were going in between towns.
Right.
And, like, I had to wear like sneakers just to be comfortable. Like, there's no high heels. There's no. Nothing like that.
No, absolutely not. And how long you guys were you there? And was it for work, pleasure, both, or?
It was just for pleasure.
Okay.
And then I just kind of turned it into a bit of a work trip.
Yeah. Which is again just something that we're always doing. We're never turned off. So
no, we never do. And then I told Scott's like, okay, look, I'll give you one day of like shooting, and then the rest we're just gonna chill. And I said, okay, cool, that's fine. You know, you kind of have to manage. Otherwise, really, you can have a fight and then it's just going down that path of just like, you know.
But
that's another like topic on itself.
It is a totally other topic of how to manage your partner when you need to get photos for content.
Yes.
In another episode. Yeah. So I think you posted on your stories, you were like, how to get the money shot. Can you take us through this really quick? Because I think it's just really funny.
Oh my God. And but you know, like anywhere touristy in London, there's people everywhere. So I think it's just being really patient and just waiting for the right moment. You know, and a lot of the time when I was in Disneyland, I always got a shot with no one behind me. And everyone's like, how did you do that? What time did you go?
Yeah, you guys did because you went with Tanya.
Yeah.
How does that work?
We just waited. We were standing there. I was like on standby. Tanya's on standby. And we just waited until that one like two split second that there's no one there. We just took like 10 shots and bang, you got it.
Oh
and
my
that's
God.
The same thing with when I was in, I think, Manarola or one, anyways, one of the little towns in Cinque Terre.
Okay.
It's very, very busy. And I can't imagine going in the summer. You would like not be able to get your shot. So I think a good time to go would be like May when it's a bit warmer. It's not as cold, but right now it's like way freezing. So.
Oh my gosh.
Then go in March.
I totally get it. So I was even just shooting in Notting Hill over the last couple of days and it's not quite warm enough to be running around in like a two-piece, which is what I was also shooting.
Which
so
I want to wear. But
yeah, absolutely. But you're just freezing and you try to make it look good and you just kind of go with it.
Yeah. But this is why I think it's important for like people to see like all the behind the scenes stuff.
Yeah, know? Definitely. I think it's brilliant. I love the idea. Yeah,
super fun.
So on the note of sort of new Instagram account and your regular Instagram account as well, what are your tips for sort of growing your account in a general sense?
Okay.
Perhaps for someone new who's maybe just starting out.
Okay. I think you have to, the most important thing that I did when I was growing or when I started was you have to build like a community, right? So you have to engage with people with like real comments, like genuine comments, and you want to be friends with these people because these people are your friends. They're like your work colleague, right? And they'll talk about you. You talk about them eventually with their followers. And then they start like sharing the same kind of followers. So I think that's really important.
That's a really good tip.
Yeah.
It's just engaging. It really is so important. It's still important. I think like obviously Instagram's changed so much over the last few years, but it's still hashtags and engaging. Hashtags.
Yeah. And then I think if you can go live like once in a while,
that's really right. I feel like you told me this tip. If you can go live like once, you said like once a week or once a month?
Once a week.
Good. Okay, cool. And what do you do when you go live? Do you usually do like tutorials or?
Yeah, I think the most important thing is to be kind of like helpful. So if you're talking about like a haul or something that you just, a few things that you bought, like talk about sizing, like so it just helps your followers to kind of like, oh, I want to buy this. What size do I wear? And I think that's really important. Also now, I think IGTV is like a huge thing. So obviously Instagram wants to kind of push that. You just need to run with the algorithm. Like whatever Instagram is trying to push, you have to like go that and do
it. I couldn't agree more. I think with IGTV, you kind of just find something that you want to focus on, put something out and just write, like you said, like write out the wave because there will be a new one.
Yeah.
It's just going to keep changing.
Yeah, it will. And you just have to be on top of it.
Yeah.
It does.
Absolutely. So I want to get into brands. So what are your favorite Aussie? Let's start with your favorite Aussie brands because I feel like there are some amazing like high street fashion Aussie brands. What are your go-tos?
My go-to would be, so there's a few. Actually, Australia makes really cute stuff, you know, I have to say. So there's a brand called Oz Labels. So they have, I think, 5 or 6 labels underneath them. I don't know.
Yes, I do know them.
Cameo. So it's all this like amazing.
They have great, now we keep talking about two pieces. They have great like play suits, we call them rompers. play suits, rompers. And like two pieces. They have really great stuff. We'll leave a link in the notes because they have great like spring, summer stuff, I remember, right?
Amazing.
And so price point's not bad, right?
It's really good. Like I think compared to anywhere else, I think it's totally fine.
Yeah.
I love them. And then another local brand that is owned by a friend of mine is called Prem the Label. It's like this local Sydney label and they just make the cutest stuff. And I wish they were like a lot bigger and I think they're growing. They're pretty much like selling internationally now, which is amazing. For like an Australian label, that's a huge deal, you know.
So okay, cool.
What else? And of course, like I love Zimmermann. Everyone knows Zimmermann.
Oh my gosh.
It's kind of like the top gun of like Sydney designer.
The most dreamy.
Yeah, very, very beautiful stuff. So
okay, cool. What about UK?
UK, I'm such a shoe girl. So my most favorite designer would have to be a shoe designer. It's Sophia Webster.
Okay, yes.
And I love her, like I always have. And then I met her twice now during Fashion Week. And that was like dream come true for me because I really loved her and I really loved her shoes. It's like when you put her shoes on, it's just like so much fun, you know, you just feel happy and fun. And I don't think any other shoes do that. Well, it makes you feel differently.
Yeah.
But Sophia Webster is just all about having fun and just not taking
What does she focus on? Does she usually, is it like boots or heels or?
So it's a lot of heels and it's a lot of like crazy colors and just like Very cute.
Okay. Very amazing. Cute. Yeah. And I just saw your closet, which, oh my God. And if you follow Miss Gunner on Instagram, you'll know what we're talking about. But it's seriously amazing. So we're transitioning into spring outfits. What are your spring like staple pieces?
Oh my God.
I see you're wearing a beautiful blazer right now, which I'm really eyeing actually.
I'm into like really like oversized boyfriend blazer right now. I think if you just steal your husband's blazer, it would work.
Honestly, I'm so, with you.
You don't have to go buy it. But I think it's the same blazer that like your dad has or like your husband.
Yeah.
Unless your husband is super trendy and he has one of those fitted ones.
Right. Like, because you need the shoulder pads.
Yeah,
you need
the shoulder situation. Pads is cool.
I love it.
And I'm just into like little crop top things right now because it's going into spring.
Yes.
But even if London is still freezing, but it's all good.
I love that. Okay. Yeah. So what do you sort of see for the future of Miss Gunner and your brand and your blog? Like what's sort of next?
Yeah. So, oh my God, like there's so much I want to do with Miss Gunner. Hopefully I would love to be able to start like my own little label under Miss Gunner. Depending on if I decide that myself or I just kind of like, it'll be like a little capsule collection of all the pieces that I love. And then I just kind of pick that like, you know, 10 pieces every 3 months that I kind of like select for like my followers to kind of shop from. That would make it a bit more interesting. I think that would be kind of where
that sounds like the dream.
Yeah. I mean, everyone wants to kind of do your own thing.
Definitely. Kind of like do your own label, launch something that you can sort of put your staple on.
Yeah.
Any upcoming projects that you want to share or anything you're working on right now?
I have a lot going on right now, but I am going to Coachella for the first time.
Oh my God,
I'm
jealous.
So I'm very, very excited. I'm not sure when this podcast is coming out, but I probably would have gone to Coachella. But yeah, it's my first time. I've always wanted to go. Never had a chance to, and I think this year I'm going with an agency, so that would be a lot of fun, and we're going to be shooting a lot of like cool content, mostly working, but I'm super excited to be at Coachella.
Oh my gosh.
It's like one of those massive big festivals.
I'm so jealous. You're gonna have the best time. So I haven't been.
Okay.
I feel like sadly my time has kind of gone, especially now that
that's
I'm,
how I feel.
Well, now that I'm over this part of the world, I feel like, why haven't I gone already?
I know.
But it's never too late.
I know. So that should be a lot of fun.
That's really exciting.
Hoping it'll be my first and then it'll probably mostly likely be my last. So I just want to have a great time.
Yeah, absolutely. Just blow it out. Have the best time. Oh my gosh. Well, that's exciting.
Yeah.
We'll kind of wrap up there, but thank you so much for coming on the podcast.
Oh, thank you so much
for having me,
guys. Thank you, Em, for great questions.
Oh my gosh, you're so welcome.
I know. It's good to have a chat to you on the
air. Absolutely. All right, guys, thank you so much for listening. Please don't forget to subscribe, review, and rate this episode on iTunes. And we will catch you all on the next one. Thank you.
Bye, guys.
Bye.